part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
TTN.
So help me God!
How many pieces of paper did you want me to throw out the door?
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, KC's Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 82.
The Heavy Metal Episode, John. That's right. The Heavy Metal Episode, Scott.
That's right. This is the part where we talk about whatever the fuck we talk about.
Usually the W.
The W. The dumbass W.
The dumbass. Yeah, we haven't talked about the W in a while, but since we've talked about him, I mean, he hasn't changed my opinion whatsoever.
No, nothing.
I keep waiting for change, John. Some change. Like, we had the midterm elections. All the Republicans got voted out. The Democrats took control. The United States pretty much said to the W, get the fuck out of Iraq.
Yeah, fuck off.
And what does he do? I'm going to send more troops to Iraq. Fuck all he is all. And it's the same shit. If we don't fight the terrorists there, we're going to fight them on our front door, John.
I know. They're going to get in their aircraft carriers and...
Right. Come over here and
invade
us.
Spaceships and fly over here like Cylon Raiders.
Shit.
Cylon Raider. Cylon Raider.
And it's the same goddamn message over and over. They can't even come up with a new angle or anything.
Cylon Raider.
That's because the W can't handle anything too detailed, I guess.
Cylon Raider.
That's my Cylon Raider imitation. Remember Cylon Raider?
No, not at all.
From Battlestar Galactica?
I never watched that.
Cylon Raider.
Because they gotta pound the shit into the W's head for him to repeat it. So maybe they've done so much training that they can't change course now because he can't pick it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I am a Cylon Raider. Attack.
I hear you, brother. You know what I heard? You ever hear Gonzalez?
Alberto Gonzalez.
Roberto Gonzalez.
Roberto.
Alberto. Our great Attorney General.
Attorney General. Arlene's, and how did he get that job? He was waxing Bush's balls or something?
Yeah, I think so.
The W gave him the job?
He gave him the old...
Tet!
A tet salute.
Tet.
The one tet salute.
Tet.
So, anyway, there was something on, they were doing one of these Senate hearing committees or something, and Gonzalez, you know, he's a little cocky little prick, and he loves to go off half-cocked about what the real interpretation of the Constitution is.
Yeah, because he knows.
And Arlene Specter, Republican... these guys are starting to get really pissed off at what the fuck is this administration doing? They are rogue. What and they don't know what to do. They're getting nervous because they don't know what to do.
Well, this guy's mental. He's overwhelmed. He does his IQ's got to be
not
like
him.
80.
I mean, there's a bunch of them. It's just not him. There's all these little fucking.
No, it is him because he's the guy
not.
Who appoints these people, and he appoints them because they agree with him.
He doesn't do that. There's people that are going, "Hey, dude, this is what you got to do. You got to hook up." He's not smart enough to think like that.
No.
I wouldn't even give him that credit.
Look, just because he agrees with him. You don't remember when he nominated Harriet Myers for the Supreme Court? Yeah. Who do you think? Somebody told him to do that? No, well, he did that by himself. Maybe. That's how goddamn stupid he is.
All right, settle down, man. Settle your shit down. God damn it, man.
Son of a bitch, a gun. You thought I was
going to
say a son of a bitch.
Anyway.
That's from his latest State of the Union, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be. All right, here is Gonzalez interpreting habeas corpus, and then Arlene Specter, like, what are you fucking saying?
The fact that the Constitution, again, there's no express grant of habeas in the Constitution. There's a prohibition against taking it away. But it's never been the case. I'm not aware of a Supreme
Court. Wait a minute. The Constitution says you can't take it away except in case of rebellion or invasion. Doesn't that mean you have the right of habeas corpus? There's an invasion or rebellion?
I meant by that comment, the Constitution doesn't say every individual in the United States or every citizen is hereby granted or assured or the right to habeas. It doesn't say that. It simply says the right of habeas corpus shall not be suspended except by...
You may be treading on your interdiction and violating common sense, Mr. Attorney.
And he laughs. Well, he laughs. This is one of the main tenets of the Constitution, the main articles that say that nobody can take away your freedom, that you have the opportunity
to challenge
stuff and be in court and see the evidence and hear the evidence and challenge the evidence. And he's saying, oh, no, it doesn't say that at all. It just says, it doesn't say you have the right to habeas corpus. It just says we can't suspend it.
Well, and I can see that I can see logically, yes, he's exactly right. But the smarminess and the smugness, he's right. It doesn't say that, but it says that you can't take it away, which means it's implied that we all have it. But what he's saying is, hey, well, it doesn't say it in black and white. And because I work for the W, if he can't read it in fucking crayon, I can't explain it to him.
So wait a minute. If I have the right to bear arms, it means that my arms could be like a bear's? Or
I don't know. What does that mean? Saying,
it doesn't say that I have the right to have them.
Literally, it doesn't say that we have the right to habeas corpus. It says it kind of beating around the bush, John, by saying that you can't take it away. So we all have it. But I don't know where this now, does he take this argument and try to say that, yeah, this is why we can keep prisoners at Gitmo.
Yes.
Well, then he's a complete cocksucker.
That's what it's part of. It's part of that whole thing of being able to say, yeah, we don't. It's part of that whole thing where if they suspect you of terrorist activity,
they can do whatever they want.
They can suspend your right to habeas corpus, even though it says
shit.
You can't.
Yeah, that guy's a cocksucker.
And it's the one thing that guarantees that we have a civil society.
And the thing that pisses me off is the smarminess and the smugness and the little giggle at the end.
Yeah.
This is serious shit, you fucking piece
of crap.
And
he looks like a fucking monkey, too.
Yeah.
Little chimp.
Monkey.
Unbelievable. Anyway, there was another thing I ran into, which was...
Was it about Iran?
It was about Iran. It was Cheney. I guess we had the ability to hook up with Iran, and they offered to help us out with this whole thing in the Middle East back in 2003. And it's the second time that they've offered, hey, you know, you guys can't handle this on your own. We're experts in this Middle Eastern conflict shit because, and this was before this Muqtada Ardarman Mujahmadi became president. The one that's, trying to get the nukes.
The nukes.
So here it is.
There's new word tonight that an Iranian offer of concessions was snubbed by the Bush administration when it was riding high after the toppling of Saddam Hussein. Did the United States government miss a monumental opportunity to try to defuse tensions with Tehran? Turn to CNN's Brian Todd. He's got the story. Brian?
Wolf, we're told that back in 2003, before Iraq deteriorated, before Mahmoud Ahmadinejad came to power in Iran, there was an opening that could have led to a valuable partnership in the region.
Two former U.S. officials and a current Iranian official tell CNN of a brief opportunity between the United States and Iran that could have prevented sectarian violence in Iraq or possibly curbed Iran's nuclear ambitions. They say it came in the spring of 2003, shortly after Saddam Hussein was driven from power. The officials tell CNN of a written offer to begin talks from Iran's top leaders, who feared they might be next.
This included, at the bottom level, the tactical level, terrorist exchanges. It also included the middle-level issues, such as operational issues, such as the stability situation in Iraq, and also strategic-level issues, such as their own
He's the guy that worked on it.
Colonel Larry Wilkerson, then Chief of Staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell, says the document came across his desk. CNN obtained a copy from Trita Parsi, a former advisor to a U.S. congressman who also received it. The unsigned letter does not promise that Iran would work to stabilize Iraq, disarm Hezbollah, or curb its nuclear program in exchange for security guarantees, but lays those issues out as talking points.
If the United States at the time had chosen to explore...
Oh, sorry. Well, actually, it wasn't supposed to go that far, even. Hello?
Hello.
You still there?
Yeah. That audio is just awful.
It's the way it's
done. That downloaded shit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta get
because it's video
direct news feeds, man.
It's video, yeah. But anyways, yeah, that was from CNN, Wolf Blitzer, and the colonel dude. It came across his desk. He brought it to Powell. They brought it to Cheney. Cheney said, "Fuck that! Don't bring that shit to me. I don't want it. I don't want to do anything. I want the chaos is." Perfect.
It's the Chios, exactly John.
The Chios.
We need the Chios.
The Chios is just the way we need it. And then, you know, here comes the Bush apologist, the Bill Kristol, who these apologists are nothing more than these neocons from the, and he's one of the top authors of, what the hell is the name of that?
PNAC?
Yeah, the Project for the New American Century, which is a scary bunch of freak jobs.
But what motivates these people? I mean, they're like brainwashed zombies. It's like a goddamn cult. They can't think for themselves. They can't have their own idea. It's all this propaganda.
Well, they really believe this shit, and they're like total Machiavellian and into this shit. What was his name? I said it before on the show. Stuart Strauss.
Leo.
Yeah.
Leo Strauss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck so up. Here's Bill Kristol, one of the biggest Bush apologists, and then Brit Hume after that.
Let me ask you about that, Bill, because this has gotten this week particularly all tied up in
2008
Chris Wallace
Democratic asking
politics.
Nice audio.
You had Biden talking about non-binding resolutions, send a message. John
Chris
Edwards,
Wallace is a cocksucker.
Who's not in Congress and doesn't have to vote, said, no, messages aren't enough. You got
to
take action.
Get to the
and
fucking
then this
question.
Week we saw Dodd and Clinton and Obama all putting out their ideas, which is to put a real cap on the number of troops the president can send, which I know you think is just a terrible idea.
No, they're leapfrogging each other in the degrees of irresponsibility they're willing to advocate. And I really think people are being too sort of complacent and forgiving almost of the Democrats. Oh, it's politics. Of course, one of them has a non-binding resolution and the other one has a cap. It's all totally irresponsible. It's just unbelievable. The president's sending over a new commander, he's sending over troops, and the Democratic Congress, either in a pseudo-binding way or a non-binding way, is saying, it won't work. Forget it. You troops, you're going over there in a pointless mission. Iraqis who might side with us, forget it. We're going to pull the plug. It's so irresponsible that they can't just be quiet for 6 or 9 months and say, the president's made a decision. We're not going to change that decision. We're not going to cut off funds and insist on the troops coming back. So let's give it a chance to work. You really wonder, do they want it to work or not? I really wonder that. But isn't that, I hate to say this about the Democrats. They're people I know personally, and I respect right. some of them.
No,
do
bullshit.
They want this to
what
succeed
a cocksucker. Yeah. What a cocksucker.
Unbelievable. They don't have a plan. They're full of shit. They should just shut their mouth. Our elected representatives and senators, and this is the other thing that cracks me up, even though Clinton kind of pulled it off, governors make the worst fucking presidents because they don't know shit about politics or about
on the world theater.
Yeah,
John.
The world theater. Theater. They don't know jack shit about foreign policy and foreign relations and budgets of that magnitude. And they're terrible. And ours is the worst. Comes from a state with a surplus and then squanders it and puts them into a $10 billion deficit. Has one of the highest rates of teen pregnancy.
This guy's never succeeded at anything.
Highest rate of the worst education.
Here's what he was good at.
Of graduations.
Here's what he's good at, John. Cheerleading. That's what he's good at.
Yeah,
he made the cheerleading squad.
Anyway, here's Britt Hume sucking up to Bill Kristol.
Serious people recognize one thing, and we are short of serious people nowadays, which is that wars get into bad places, and even winning conflicts do. And you talk about an ahistorical view. It strikes me that the view that you're espousing is very much that. You look at any major war that's been fought over a period of time, and the winning side has had terrible moments and stretches of time when it appeared that victory might not be possible. And the question then becomes, what do you do at times like that? The president, at least, has changed his approach, is bringing in more troops, and the plan, at least on paper, has some apparent potential to work. What you have from the Democrats is the idea, as Nancy Pelosi put it, this isn't a war to be won. Now, you claim they want success. This isn't a war to be won, she says. She says it is a conflict to be resolved, and their answer is retreat. You call it redeployment. It's a euphemism, Juan. It's retreat.
Is this guy a journalism or what?
He's an idiot. Retreat, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, get the fuck out. Quit wasting our money on this whole in lives. On
and let's
this
talk about that.
Ridiculous idea.
Not only the lives, but $2 trillion fucking dollars, yeah. John. Where's that goddamn shit going to come
from? None of these apologists like Kristol or any of them have a single sacrificial lamb of their own in this war. The Bush pigs aren't in it. Any of these apologists have kids over there? None of them. And one of the congresswomen pointed that out and ripped it to Condi and said, "You don't even have any." And I don't know why she said that. Maybe she can't even bear children. But yeah, Condi,
well,
she doesn't have
Condi.
A husband or nothing.
Yeah, who's going to marry
her? She's a dyke.
Condi. Talk to Condi. I talked to Condi.
Anyway, this, and they talk about no plan, and this is the plan that they have. There's been all kinds of plans. Can anybody say Iraq study? The study they did?
The study, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
let's
that
spend
wasn't
more
a plan.
Money.
Yeah.
Why don't they give us money to do a study? We'll say it's fucked. Get the fuck out, yeah. Huh?
Here's Jon Stewart cutting up a little bit on the way they changed the Bush administration changed from stand up the Iraqis and we'll stand down to changing the wording a little bit. This is his new plan.
The old plan asked an awful lot from the Iraqis.
Our policy is stand up, stand down. As the Iraqis stand up, we'll stand down.
See, if they didn't stand up, we're waiting. But this new plan changes that and addresses the so-called up-down loophole.
It is time for the Iraqis to step up.
That starts most importantly with the Iraqi leadership in Baghdad stepping up.
They, in fact, need to step up.
Now, you may say the White House has merely replaced the word stand with step. Touché. You may also point out that, as was reported recently, the Iraqis can't run a single battalion on their own. Well, the White House is ready for your negativity.
If you don't like our idea, you got a better one. We want to hear it.
All right. If the Democrats don't like what we're proposing, it seems to me they have an obligation to put forward their proposal.
If somebody's got a better idea about how to do this, we want to hear it.
John, it's got to have a better idea.
Now you may counter, I thought that's what the Iraq study group was for. Or the Levin-Reed Amendment calling for phased withdrawal. Man, you're a real downer. But okay, I'll indulge you. You have a plan. Well, have you thought about looking at that plan in the most emotionally loaded way possible?
Ask a simple question. If the U.S. withdraws, does it make Osama bin Laden happy or sad?
That's Tony Snow, that genius fucking puppet.
Yeah, that audio's horrible, man.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. That's another download.
John, it's got to have a plan. Download. You've been saying this plan for a year now, John.
Yeah, what's that?
One-word plan. Leave.
Ah, yes. That's a good plan.
Leave Iraq. That's real a simple plan. It's very simple.
Oh, no. We can't leave. Leave. Oh, don't even talk like that. The troops. Those poor troops. You say that, and you're disservicing the troops.
Yeah. You're a terrorist.
Yeah. But at the same time, you got these radio pundits that call for the mass slaughter of, like, you know, 2 million Muslims. And and that was on the radio. This guy Spacko, we talked about this, didn't we? Spacko,
never heard.
He took a bunch of stuff that was played. A bunch of stuff. Listen to me. He took a bunch of audio clips from a radio show where they were slamming they were slamming people who are against the W, and there was, like, they called Obama a Hafrican because his mother's white, his father's black or something.
Okay.
So they called him a Hafrican American, and nothing, I guess. But they were saying some really negative stuff towards calling for a bullseye in Nancy Pelosi's head and things like that. So this guy collected these audio clips, he put it on his blog, and then he sent them to the advertisers of the show and said, you know, you guys are advertising in the show, you thought it was going to be a Disney kind of rated show, and this is what they're saying on there. So the advertisers pulled their advertisements.
Nice.
And the radio show got pissed off, and they threatened the... what do you
call
it?
Guy who put the shit together?
Well, no, they threatened the actual website. What the fuck do you call it? The person who...
put the shit together?
No! Not Spacko! God damn it! The service.
The ISP.
ISP, yeah.
Because they're the ones with the cash.
So he freaked out. They
what
freaked out.
What does the ISP have to do with
and
it?
And they took him down. They took his site down.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But the thing is there's fair use because he's doing a blog and it's a news show and he can kind of take the snippets and he gives credit and he does commentary on it. So there's the fair use law that protects him. So there's nothing they could have done. They could do a cease and desist, and then they got to pull that stuff off the air, maybe. But they can't sue him for it because he's not making money general right off of that. He's not saying, but and playing it and saying, this is mine.
Right.
He's doing commentary about it.
So they can't sue us either,
no,
John.
No.
They can go after Punky, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, because UK is a little different.
Well, the one thing we've always talked about, John, is this W, he's overwhelmed. He's mental. And we've come up with theories. Is he a chimp? Is it the alcohol? Is it the cocaine?
Yeah.
What is it about this guy? And I ran across this article, John. A formal intervention with a dry drunk president by Catherine Van Wormer. Characteristic of a person with an addictive mentality, the president responded in a state of denial, as do the enablers around him. His supporters are getting fewer and fewer. However,
it's a river, right?
Even his father recently broke into tears.
Right.
The addictive mentality I'm talking about is the cognitive impairment that is associated with alcohol drug use and may have preceded or followed the addictive behavior. George W. over his lifetime has gone from one extreme, extensive, and long-term binge drinking and at least some cocaine use to another affiliation with religious fundamentalism and authoritarian belief systems that cannot be explained by his religious upbringing. From an elitist background, the junior Bush was able to build a potential base from a cultural group that was arguably alien from his own.
Wow.
For an understanding of this phenomenon, how the drinking and drug use affects patterns of thinking, We need to look at brain research, John.
Drugs and
the
alcohol.
Most recent brain research, now revolutionized by technology advances, confirms that members of AA known for years. What members of AA have known for years?
What is what?
They labeled them the dry drunk phenomena.
Wow, yeah.
Rigidity. Poor impulse control. Grandiosity. Grandiosity. And all or nothing or black and white thinking are the classic characteristics. Just type in dry drunk syndrome at Google, John. We now know that once the heavy drinking and or other drug use stops, a certain amount of cognitive impairment may persist. We also know, however, that the brain can actually be rewired through cognitive work. You've got to work at it, John. This is the commonly heard saying of George W. One thing he has not worked at, however, is what is sometimes called, in alcohol treatment parlance, the second recovery. Treatment centers specialize in cognitive work, as does AA, in effect, aiding persons in recovery to replace irrational, grandiose, and self-centered thoughts with healthier and more moderate ways of thinking.
Well, basically, he's just a freaking narcissist.
Right. And he sees things in black and white,
yeah.
And it's all because of the alcohol.
Right.
And he's not going to work on what he needs to work on. He's just going to, I'm right, you're wrong, fuck you, I'm sending 20,000 more troops.
To their death.
And he's still worried about his goddamn legacy. And even these apologists, they're comparing him to Lincoln, they're comparing him to Truman, they're talking about war, and not all wars are popular, and they're going to say that he's a great president
but
50 years from now.
Who are we fighting? What enemy? No, they can't even...
It's terrorists.
What do they look like?
They're going to come to our front door, John.
They look like Timothy McVeigh.
Terrorists, John.
He doesn't even fucking know. None of them know how to explain who we are fighting.
All right, let me get the
door. It's a different kind of enemy.
I have one other story.
Different kind of enemy.
So Phil can listen to this audio last story in the audio bite before we get to Phil. Yeah, let me get the... Hold on. Let me get the door here. Hey, man. What's happening? Come on.
All right, gentlemen.
How does he get back so quick? What was that? All right, man. Phil, take a seat. We got two other stories, and we'll turn it over to you for the news. Yeah, get that shit on, man. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. You want to do the sound clip first and then the story, or do the story and then the sound clip?
Let me do the sound clip real quick. This is, you've heard about the Condi augmentation, right? You've heard that bit?
Condi, oh, right. Yeah, it's not an escalation. It's an augmentation.
Yeah, here it is.
John.
For Rice's part, she wanted to make it clear that not only couldn't the senators affect policy, they didn't even use the right words to describe it.
My question was the escalation of American troops
in
Iraq.
I think that I don't see it, and the president doesn't see it as an escalation. What he sees
putting 22,000 new troops, more troops in, is not an escalation?
I would call it, Senator, an augmentation.
No, I believe an augmentation would be if the troops got new tits.
Yeah, we can't play
John
that
Stewart.
Audio anymore. That's horrible.
That's pretty bad. I'll find a different spot.
Last story I have. I don't know if you've heard this, John, but...
Come on!
Are you familiar with President Hugo Chavez?
Oh, yeah.
He has vowed to deepen his Bolivarian... Bolivarian... revolution. Venezuela's National Assembly has given initial approval to a bill granting the president... the power to bypass Congress and rule by decree for 18 months. You know what that means, John?
He's doing like the W.
President Hugo Chavez says he wants revolutionary laws to enact sweeping political, economical, and social changes. He said he wants to nationalize key sectors of the economy and scrap limits on terms the presidents can serve. The bill allowing him to enact laws by decree is expanding to win final approval easily in the assembly on its second reading on Tuesday.
So he's going to be king.
He's going to be dictator Chavez.
Dictator Chavez.
Dictator Chavez for 18 months.
It's better for the country, man.
Can you imagine how pissed off the W is? Because he's wanting...
Yeah, he's trying to do that.
This is W's goal.
Damn it!
And Chavez gets it, and the W doesn't. He's pissed.
Yeah.
He's thinking, I need to go to Venezuela.
I hear that.
No doubt.
All right, Phil, you got 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
That's enough for me to get the news.
All right.
How are you, fellas? I missed last week.
Yeah. Well, why do you got to sit there and ring the bell? If nobody answers, get out.
I'm not sure if it's working properly. So
you can't hear the dog barking?
I do some testing as I ring the bell. And I'm just waiting for somebody to come into the door.
It was like this. It was like...
Well, I'm never sure where what point you're at in the show, and you do have your cans on.
It's like, what the fuck?
So I need
fuck?
To make sure that you know that I am here. If
well,
you
we
just
have a
give
microphone
me my own key...
On the bell.
I can let myself in.
No, you get the key.
I can let myself in and prepare... Accordingly.
You scare my family with that big fur coat you wear every day of the year.
I like my fur coats. Right. I have six of them. They're my pride and joy.
All right, here we go. Cue the music. Cue the music.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
Welcome, Phil.
And our first story tonight!
The brain cells you thought you killed by underage binge drinking were really lost by attending college. Going to college is a no-brainer for those who can afford it, but higher education actually tends to speed up mental decline when it comes to fumbling the words later in life. Participants in a new study, all more than 70 years old, were tested up to four times for their ability to recall 10 common words read aloud to them. Those with more education were found to have a steeper decline over the years in their ability to remember the list, according to the new study detailed in the current issue of the Journal of Research on Aging. In related news, John, the W must have had the best education money could buy. Next story, John. Soldier sentenced to 18 years for murdering Iraqis. In related news... He should be out in time for his second tour. Next story, John. Man dies in Delta flight's wheel well. Still forced to change planes in Atlanta. A body was found in an airplane wheel well after a Delta Airlines flight from Africa landed in Atlanta on Friday morning. The flight left Dakar, Senegal, more than 9 hours earlier. It landed at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta Airport International. Airline officials said the man was not carrying any identification. No additional details were available, pending an investigation by federal and local law enforcement. Next story, John! Every worker in Britain will now get at least 28 days a year of vacation, thanks to a change in the law.
What? How many?
28 days a year of vacation, thanks to a change in the law. In related news, since Britain doesn't produce a goddamn thing... This will go as unnoticed as Pauly B's comedy. Next story, John. India demands apology for video depicting Gandhi pole dancing. This is out of New Delhi. India on Friday ordered two televised channels to apologize for showing footage of a man dressed as revered Indian freedom icon Mahatma Gandhi performing a pole dance and brandishing an AK-47. Broadcasting Minister Parinarajan Desamishan said in a statement that two Hindi language channels, IBN 7 and Sahara, tried to degenerate Mahatma Gandhi. Denigrate Mahatma Gandhi in a way that was tantamount to an assault to the dignity of the father of the nation. The managing editor of IB7 defended the station's decision in their video, which he said was originally posted on the popular YouTube.com.
Ooh.
We felt humiliated and angry after seeing the visuals put on the website, as it is an insult to the father of the nation. And so we wanted to share our outrage with the people of India. Ashutosh, who goes by the only one name, told Reuters, we had no intention of showing Gandhi in a bad light. Next story, John. U.S. Staff Sergeant relieved of duties after posing nude for Playboy. Officials are fully at attention while dealing with this matter and are ready to deploy semen should the need arise. Next story, John. Christian group gets their crosses bent and their holy vaginas over Conan O'Brien skit about country singer who loved Jesus. Life Decisions International, that's LDI to you and me, a Washington, D.C. group base that has attempted to organize boycotts against companies that contribute to Planned Parenthood, has lashed out at the broadcast networks for allowing programming that blatantly mocks Christianity. The group wasted no time denouncing Wednesday night, Thursday morning's episode of Late Night with Conan O'Brien, in which the host introduced a new character, the homophobic. The homophobic
spit it out.
Country western singer who sang, "Oh, I love you, Jesus, but only as a friend. You touch my heart, but I hope that's where the touching ends. You're always looking over me when I need a higher power, but you better look at something else when I'm in the shower." In a statement, LDI President Douglas R. Scott Jr. said, "The idea that anyone would think about the Son of God in this way is simply appalling. The inferences that permeate the song are utterly disgusting." Likewise, last month, Scott fired off a letter to CBS after an episode of Two and a Half Men, in which the Charlie Sheen character sang to the melody of Joy to the World. "Joy to the world, I'm getting laid. I'm getting laid tonight. We'll light the Yule log, deck the halls, and then we'll play some jingle balls." Scott said at the time that the song could be retitled Joy to Fornication, adding CBS has allowed a song about the most precious, sacred, and significant moment in history.
Oh my God.
To be turned into a song about having sex outside of marriage. Oh, and we'll keep our eye on LDI, Life Decisions International.
Jesus.
Next story, John.
Christ.
Are those diamonds in your tetanus, or did you break a glass dildo in your rectum? A pilfering worker in a Congolese diamond mine was caught in the act when he walked past a security scanner with 126 of the sparkling gems stashed in his rear end.
Oh.
The would-be thief, a cleaner, hid the small stones valued at $5,000 in his anus, explained Mike Mutombo of the Media Mining Company in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Put two of them up your ass.
No information was released as to how the diamonds were recovered or whether the man was arrested. Next story, John. The story's out of Berlin. A German pensioner who wired up a high-voltage cable to try to wipe out the moles digging up his garden, killed himself instead. Uwe Werner, police spokesman in Strusland, north of Berlin, said the 63-year-old retired construction foreman was found dead in the garden of his weekend house, zigs next to the 380-volt cable and metal spikes rammed into the ground. The moles survived, Mr. Warner said, noting that the voltage was enough to run a cement mixer or heavy-duty power saw. It was, in any event, an unorthodox method to try to get rid of the moles. Next story, John.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
This is somewhat of a science story, and it's also a riddle. Are you ready, John?
Yeah.
What does Lorena Bobbitt and prostate cancer treatment have in common? What does Lorena Bobbitt and prostate cancer treatment have in common?
I'm not sure.
They may both shorten your penis. Men who receive combination treatment with hormone therapy plus radiation for local or locally advanced prostate cancer may experience a significant reduction in penile length, according to a report in the January issue of the Journal of Urology.
There have been anecdotal evidence that radiation therapy can reduce penile length, but to the author's knowledge, the president's study is the first to determine if penile length changes following combination treatment with hormone therapy. Just before treatment began, the average stretched penile length, John, was 5.6 inches. 18 months later, the average penile length had shortened significantly to 3.4 inches.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Next story, John.
Hey, by the way, did you hear that Lorena Bobbitt was being sued?
I did not hear that, John.
Yeah, apparently when she threw Bobbitt's penis out the window, it hit a woman in the head, and now she's cockeyed.
That's funny, John.
Well, obviously, you have a different sense of humor than I do.
Next story, John. This next story needs to be filed under the Let's Be Careful What You Wish For. Man who tried to commit suicide in Mexico City beaten to death by the police. Next and last story tonight, John.
That's it.
John, Uranus has a dark spot. Some astronomers speculate it's Uranus's bunghole. During the past decade, many bright spots have been seen on Uranus, John, in both red and near-infrared filters. But this is the first dark spot ever seen on Uranus. A team led by Lauren Stromonsky of the University of Wisconsin, and including Kathy Rages of the SETI Institute, Heidi Hamel of the Space Station Institute, and Patrick Fry of the U of W, observed the dark spot on August 23rd using the Hubble Space Telescope. There is a reason for the recent span of activity on Uranus, John.
They could have just bent down and looked.
Since the planet is tipped on its side, the seasons are more drastic on Uranus compared to those on the Earth. During the next few years, as Uranus passes through equinox, Hubble and ground-based telescopes around the globe will turn their lenses toward Uranus. We will find out if the dark spot has a lifespan of years or just months, and whether other dark spots will develop. We expect to witness the development of a bright cloud over Uranus's North Pole, similar to the one that has been in place over the South Pole for the past 20 years. These are interesting times indeed, John, for Uranus. And that's the news.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Good to see you again.
Do you know what toilet paper and the USS Enterprise have in common?
Yes, I do know that. They both wipe out Klingons around Uranus.
No, they circle Uranus to wipe out the Klingons. You suck.
Of course, I know that one. I've heard that one. Okay, I'm leaving.
See you later.
Stupid ass.
He's really crabby. I don't know
what's up with that.
Oh, did I tell you when the Bears got that safety today?
Yeah, safety, yeah.
I jumped up so high from the couch. Yeah. I hurt one of my nuts, one of my testicles.
How high are we talking here?
We're talking pretty high, man. My wife was impressed at my...
Vertical?
No, my skill at keeping my balance after I wiped out... I walked in the house and the kids had left their boots.
All right, this is a different story, right?
Yeah,
but it was
shortly after because I went outside to celebrate because people were shooting fireworks off and yelling and screaming, and we're yelling back and forth down the street, and my shoes had snow on them, and you know I tried to bang it all off, and then I walk in the house and I trip on somebody's boots, mm-hmm. I lose it. And my foot slips on the hardwood floor because there's some ice or snow on the bottom of it still. And my foot just slides out from underneath me. And my other foot, I was able to pull it up from the boot that I was tripping on and right myself with that foot. And the wife noticed my cat-like reflexes at that moment.
Wow.
She was very impressed.
How impressed? Like impressed, like, oh, I can't believe I'm married to him. I want to have him right now. That kind of impressed?
Well, no, after she got off the floor laughing, She said, wow, I can't believe it. I thought for sure. And, you know, my TV is right there. I was going head first right into the big screen, man.
Oh, that would have been something. Been...
You walked in. Hey, dude, what happened to your TV? Yeah, that would have been
all right, so you're watching the Bears game. You're on the pleather. Are you down here on the pleather?
No. I'm upstairs.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
You're on the couch.
On the couch.
And you're at the edge of the seat, or are you reclining?
I'm laying sideways.
You're laying sideways.
With my elbow propped up on the arm and my hand and my, you know, my face and my hand.
So you get excited and you swivel. Your hips swivel. Yeah. Your feet hit the floor.
Swing
and you jump
and
up. And then what happens?
Yeah!
The arms, do the arms go up, you know?
Yeah,
like a,
yeah, and then we high five, me and the wife.
You high five?
High 10, actually. We go the high 10.
High 10.
And I said, I have to sit down. I heard a ball. What? Yeah. Yeah. I'm wearing like boxers, you know?
You got the
boxer
boxers,
briefs,
right?
And I leapt. And as I came down, one of them, you know, was speeding down faster than my body, maybe. I know that's not possible because of Newton's law, but
which Galileo proved.
Well, actually, in inertia, right?
Right.
But something stopped it abruptly. My thigh and my underwear.
No.
Boom.
No. Here's, I have a different theory.
My ball sack?
Your foot was stopped abruptly by the floor.
Yeah.
While your ball sack continued to expand.
Travel.
So the ball continued to expand, and it pulled the vase, and that's where the pain came from.
So it made it to the end of the string?
Right. And it kept going even a little further.
It was almost like the Big Bang.
Dink.
But there's something about it. It was like a creeper pain, you know, gradual.
Oh, yeah, that's how they all are.
And you're like,
right.
Oh, God, I need a drink. Yeah. All right. Well.
Oh, just that reminds me. In the movie Idiocracy.
Yeah.
The most watched TV show in 2550.
Yeah.
Is Oh My Balls.
Oh.
And it's just some guy who gets his balls kicked in repeatedly.
God. Oh my balls. All right, we got to get out of here. That's all we have for this week.
82 Part 3.
That's
wrapped
right.
Up.
Eight.
Hey.
Yeah.
And don't forget the gig Saturday at
That's
Eddie's
right.
In Arlington Heights. You think Errol Wolf will show up?
I don't know.
It's a trip for him.
Yeah, no
it's
doubt.
A road trip. He should hook up with Lori.
Milwaukee, I think he lives up
and
there.
Come
right?
down. She lives in Indiana,
yeah.
Though, right?
Yeah,
yeah
no
that's
doubt.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then.
All right.
Well, talk to you next week.
All right, John.
Give us a call. 847-TTN-GIZD, 847-TTN-GIZD, 847-886-4493. We're out of here. Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.